Hey, welcome back to Good Growing with the Garden Gal. I'm George Corliss.
And I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And I'm Teresa Williams with the Wexford Conservation District.
And she's the Garden Gal.
That's right.
Hey, we were talking a little bit off air, Teresa, about going back to the male and female, you know, parts of the plant. And you couldn't remember. Now you remember. So tell us a little bit about that.
We talked about this, I think, last time. And some of our plants, like those in the squash family, they have, on the same plant, they have both male flowers and female flowers. And those are the ones, in terms of vegetables, that are really dependent on our pollinators, because they have to get the pollen from the male flower to the female flower. And we even have a very few varieties of vegetables that have different male plants and female plants. And asparagus is probably our most notable one. And you can tell if you've got a female asparagus plant, because this time of year, you'll see little red berries on a female asparagus plant, where you won't see those on a male asparagus plant.
Okay. Interesting. I enjoy learning, and I guess I know all you guys are out there listening and learning too, but I like to ask. I'm here, and I can ask all the questions I want.
Well, I'm sure we'd probably have people that would love for us to do a program where they could call in and ask
probably.
The Garden Gal.
And now that we're at our new studios, that's very possible.
And maybe we'll have to plan that late winter, early spring.
Good idea.
Get ready next year.
Hey, we're going to be talking about pollinators this particular segment. And when we talk about pollinators, Teresa, what are we talking about?
We're talking about both our honeybees and then our native pollinators. We have a lot of native bees around here, and there's even a few, actually some wasps that do some pollinating for us. Not a lot, but we have both native bees and honeybees.
Now, when I was younger, I wanted to be an entomologist, okay? And one of the most fascinating insects, and it comes from the Lepidoptera area, and that's the butterflies. And this is actually a moth, but it was a hummingbird moth. Have you ever seen one of those, Jelaine?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Only photographs. I've never seen one in real life.
The first time I saw one was when the lilacs came out in the springtime. And I thought it was, you know, just a hummingbird, you know, just going around. And the more I looked at it, I said, that's not a hummingbird. And I got my net, and I went over there. And the proboscis, I mean, it rolled up, and then it came, I mean, it was very long. And they were going from flower to flower to flower to flower to flower. So, I mean, there's more than just, you know, what we think. But
wow.
There are a few moths, yes.
Yeah, I never knew wasps, though, pollinate.
A little bit, not a lot.
Okay, and so basically we're talking about bees.
Mainly bees, yes.
Okay, how much of a bee population do we have naturally here in northern Michigan? Is there a lot of them or not?
There are, if there are places that have habitat for them.
And that would be?
That would be, the main things that bees need are they need a place to build their nest and overwinter, and they also need sources of nectar and pollen through anytime when it's warm.
Okay. And so what kind of bees would that be? Are they just regular, what we would call honeybees?
The honeybees are, they're not a native bee. So if you have a beekeeper in the area, yes, you could have honeybees. Most of our bees that are native are what we call solitary bees. They don't have a hive the way, their name is very descriptive. They're solitary. They're on their own. And a lot of them nest in either the ground or in the stems of a hollow-stalked plant, such as maybe elderberry.
Or maybe some hollow trees, or
it's a hollow stalk that we're looking at.
Really,
we do have some wild honeybees, and they would nest in a tree.
Okay, because they would have a hive. Then.
Right, they would have a hive.
Okay, I
have yet to see. I know they should be in our area, but I've yet to see wild honeybees.
Wow, and so I know we're going to go into some ways in which we can take care of these pollinators with the food, but tell me. Do you know beekeepers yourself?
I do.
You do? What? Mm-hmm. Like, it's always fascinated me. I've always wanted to do it. Is it difficult to start a hive? Do you just go online and you order the materials and stuff, and then they send you the bees? Or
It's challenging. You have to think of them like you would any livestock, that they're going to take care. These are honeybees that we like for pollinating crops and for producing honey and beeswax. They do need care, especially with regards to some of the diseases and the mites that we're seeing in honeybees. And I do know professional beekeepers, and they're a bit concerned about the casual beekeeper that might not be caring for their bees and controlling the insects, like the mites disorder and the disease disorders, because if you're just a casual beekeeper and you don't take care of your bees, they can spread those mites or those diseases to the commercial growers. So if it's great to get into, but if you get into it, know that you do need to take care of those bees and make sure that they're healthy.
Okay. Now, are there different types of bees that we're talking about here when we're trying to provide food sources for pollinators?
Just any of our bees, all of them, kind of fall into the same needs for what they need to eat. Very similar, maybe not the exact same plants, but very similar needs. In the fall especially, it can be hard for bees to find food. So we might need to take some extra care to provide it. And if we think about some of our native plants, goldenrod is an excellent fall food source for them. Anything that blooms now, like I've seen them on black-eyed Susans.
Wow, they are just all over the place this year. What a boon for flowers.
Well, especially since it hasn't rained, I think that's what mine are just unbelievable.
Asters are another native fall flower that can provide a food source. And in our gardens, we can also think about that. If you let your broccoli go to flower now, oh my gosh, bees love broccoli flowers. It's a bee magnet. If you have any fall flowering raspberries, that's another good one. And if you have some annual herbs that you're willing to let go to flower, that's another one that the bees really like. Anything in our annual herbs, or even our perennial herbs, like I know my mint is flowering prolifically right now, and the bees like that as well.
And so you have to think a little bit, if you're going to try to help the bee population here to be able to weather the winter, maybe things that you would have cleared out of your garden a lot quicker, you should just let go to seed and other things because it helps.
Yeah, it does. Especially, I always let my broccoli go to flower around now because I want to provide a food source for those pollinators so that during the winter they can survive it and do well and be ready to go in the spring.
Now, do they build their nests in those plants or on the ground? Or
the solitary bees, a lot of times, will build a nest in a ground or sometimes in a hollow stalk.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about the hollow stalks. Yeah. Okay.
But the European honeybees, they're in a hive, yeah.
And then, what do they go dormant during the winter? How does that work?
They slow down a lot, but they don't go into true dormancy. And a beekeeper will make sure that there is food for the bees during the winter.
Because they don't try to take all of the honey from the hive, because then the bees would starve,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they need to leave something in the hive, or they need to feed the bees with something.
Okay, and honey. I know that they've found this in Egyptian tombs and other things like that, that you can just take right out and you can eat it. It never spoils, does it? It never goes rotten.
I don't know if I would say never, but certainly it has an incredibly long shelf life.
Okay. And then what are, Teresa, what are some of the different dishes that you use honey in, just for you? Like, we put it on pancakes, we put it on cereal, some people put it on ice cream. I don't know why, it's sweet already, but, you know, they like the taste.
Probably my favorite is we had the opportunity one time to host an exchange. She was working at a camp, at a Girl Scout camp, and they had international counselors. And we had a young woman from Russia stay with us a couple of summers, and she made a honey tort. And it was basically layers of a honey-sweetened cake. It was delicious.
I think that there can't be anything more delicious than coming home to homemade bread with a little bit of butter and then drip honey on it and eat it. Oh,
or the bread itself made with honey. That's pretty tasty, too.
I like that, too. You betcha, as you go through there.
And it's warm bread.
Yeah. Can't beat fresh warm bread.
Yeah.
And it just smells. I mean, it just seems like it permeates the whole house, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
For a day or more, you just kind of keep smelling it as we go through there. Well, folks, that's our segment here for taking care of our pollinators. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the crop of the month, cauliflower. And Teresa, I'm all excited about this because I like cauliflower. I call them cauliflower potatoes, but it has nothing to do with potatoes, just mashed cauliflower. So folks, you want to stay tuned. We'll be right back.